Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
The only thing that we would hang banners for, that we put up around this building, is world championships.
And, you know, the message is clear. You know, we just had to play better.
Everybody wants to take a chip and dip it in that salsa, if you know what I'm saying.
Tucker is in a better place.
No, bro, we're going all the fucking way, bro. Pack us to the bowl, bro.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis. You're listening to Poor Man's Packers Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joining this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello, hello.
And the Packers lost 41-24. It sucked.
What a fun game.
It was not.
Oh.
It was, well,
no,
it,
we disagree.
Half of the time it was almost fun, and then the other half it was not fun at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was all fun. I enjoyed it all.
I'm speaking offense versus defense.
Okay. Oh, you enjoyed Malik.
Yeah, Malik was fun, right? Didn't you have fun watching Freak Malik?
Malik's always fun. He is one of my... Let me just think for a second. I think he's my favorite backup quarterback ever.
I mean, Matt Flynn probably...
Who's more fun to watch?
Oh, well, that's the Freak Malik.
Matt Flynn against the Lions, week 17.
Scott Tolzien, spin move against the Vikings.
Also very good.
Matt Flynn coming back against the Cowboys.
DeShone Kizer.
No, he wasn't very good. But yeah, Freak Malik, very fun. Defense, not as fun. Defense, some could say, didn't play their best. A lot of people are saying that. Todd, during the game we were texting, you said after the first drive that they might run it 60 times. You were wrong. They only ran it 53 times. So that just kind of tells you how great the game went. How are you feeling now after the game?
I think I've come to terms with what this team is. Do you want to ask me what that is?
What is that?
I didn't really have a good lined up answer, but I think this team is just like, they could beat anybody and they could also lose to anybody. It's just like it's a flip of a coin every week. You had no idea what you're going to get. Inconsistent. That's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm. And we seem to be consistently inconsistent. Last year felt very similar to this. I don't know if you remember, but down the stretch, we also kind of fell a little bit apart. This year, I think you could blame a lot more on the injuries, but still not very fun. And even for how much this game sucked, I think I said last week where it's like a you need to win game. That's also when I thought Jordan Love would start. So maybe the stakes weren't as high, especially after clinching a playoff berth going into it. But like, again, it seemed, and this is the one game all year where we lost by more than one score, first time that's happened. But again, going into the fourth quarter, we were only down 3 points, and it was a 3rd and 4 going into the fourth. It's like if we can hold up on one of those big third downs, maybe it's a different game. But I don't think there's a besides like heartbreaking fashion, like an onside kick or something. But there's no worse way to lose than having the ball ran down your throat like it was on Saturday.
Yeah, and it just felt like things we've seen before. Like, as Derrick Henry is gashing us for 10, 12 a pop, it seems, you just have those flashbacks of, like, Colin Kaepernick just running free. Who else? What was the other one that I'm trying to think
well,
of?
Well, the ones I think of are the Niners with, what was his name? God, I always forget his name now.
Oh, Frank Gore.
No, it wasn't Frank Gore. It was more recently the 2019 NFC Championship game. Fuck, I can't remember it now.
Well, I'm also thinking of, like, remember when Alvin Kamara just absolutely beat the brakes off us?
There was...
like, walking down the field?
There was Dalvin Cook at Lambeau Field with Mike Pettine. That was a bad one, too. That might have been hovering right around 200 yards.
Do you remember, I think it was after AP's season, or his one of his MVP seasons, maybe? He had multiple, didn't he? Or maybe just one.
Just one.
We played them in the first round of the playoffs. And if, I forget, was Childress still the play caller there? And it was like he couldn't get away from, he had to throw the ball every once in a while. Otherwise, we would have lost.
Well, no,
we would have gotten shit kicked.
I think you're misremembering. One, I think that week 17 game, AP was just short of the NFL record for rushing yards, and he had like over 100 yards. And then the first...
we played him the next week.
Right. And then the first round of the playoffs, it was Joe Webb. And they ran like...
you're right.
Like, he was running a lot. And they did it the first drive and never again. If they had kept doing that, it would have been an actual game. But they didn't, so we won.
Yeah, then because wasn't that Christian Ponder years? And Christian Ponder had like a bruised arm.
Yeah, he had, his arm had a nice little bruise on it, so he couldn't play. Yeah. This episode, of course, we will have our big thought after the game. We'll talk about the offense, the defense, take news. We're going to talk about what do we have lined up? Injuries, how we're feeling about the team. Micah Parsons getting his ACL repaired. And then there's something else we're going to talk about. I forgot what. Stump Spending, we'll have Packers trivia.
Ooh.
And then we will preview the much anticipated Viking game. But Todd, I mean, I guess you might have touched on it already, but what was your big thought leaving this game?
My big thought was injuries matter. You know, you can't, when your defensive line, not that the defensive line was great all year, but it just, like, you really feel the loss of Devontae Wyatt. And I mean, we even lost like Riley after the first drive, didn't we? So it's like you lose that depth and you got a couple undersized defensive linemen in their D tackles, I should say. And it's like they're just running all. We just didn't have a chance. And you got to slow Derrick Henry down at the line. I don't know. It's just tough, right? The injuries kill you. The team's not what it was. I mean, do you think Micah Parsons makes a huge difference in this game? I mean, I think he's definitely a better run defender than our backup ends, but, like, he's also more of a pass rusher. Do you think he makes an impact?
I don't know. That's tough because that's a whole butterfly effect type deal for, like, what would have happened against the Broncos, what would have happened against the Bears. You know, does that change how this game's being played, yada, yada. But it couldn't hurt. Like, he was still a decent run defender, and Gary seems to be losing interest in football a little bit here at times, so maybe he would have been better than him. Yeah, run game bad. And that's the thing, too. Like, you look at what our defensive line was a year ago this time, and our top three dudes were Kenny Clark, Wyatt, and then TJ Slayton, you know, and none of those guys are with the team right now.
Slayton's a good one, too. Yeah, because he was a run stuffer. It does,
that's
it does feel like that's almost more, like, right now, like, if you could get one of those guys back.
Oh,
like,
God.
It's an easy one to get back is TJ Slayton, because, like, what did he cost, right? Like,
he did get a halfway decent contract with the
Bengals.
Did
he? Okay,
yeah,
that's fair.
I think he did get, like, $10 million per year. I could be wrong on that,
oh,
but it wasn't
wow.
terrible.
I was going to guess it might be
less than that, but, yeah, didn't get a bad deal. My big thought leaving this game is just, fuck, we really need to win a playoff game for this offseason not to be incredibly annoying. Because we might lose. I mean, this game's not going to matter on Sunday. Then we'll have the playoffs. And if we lose both of those games, it'll be a 5-game losing streak going into an offseason where Matt LaFleur is on the last year of his contract. Goody, assuming they're on the same contract structure or whatever, he's also in that. There was the talk of Ed Policy saying that he doesn't want to have a lame duck head coach. So it'll be a lot of head coaching talk.
Same.
At the beginning there, and then it'll be just a long offseason of, you know, how are you going to patch the holes without having any first round picks and being cap strapped. So it's over the last month now, like going into the Broncos game, and especially after the first half, it's like, wow, our team's good. We are a Super Bowl contender without question. And now less than a month later, it's like, I just want to win one playoff game and then I will be happy with the season, you know, because even like last year too, I was thinking about, of course, I like jinxed myself in my brain. But I was like, wow, this has been a fun year because it's been a lot of one-score games. We've won the majority of them. It's been entertaining. And then since then, we've had some gut-wrenching losses. So hopefully, you know, just one more win I just want one more win out of these last five games so that I can feel a little bit better going into the offseason.
And obviously, you don't want that one win to be this week, if you can only pick one.
Yeah. Going to head, I would pick the playoff game probably against the Bears than the Viking game. And that's what sucks, too, is even if we beat the Bears, and right now everyone's down in the dumps. After the Viking game, we'll probably be down in the dumps about the same. But if we win that one playoff game, everyone's going to feel really, really good about the team, I feel like. Because when we move on, we'll be lined up to go up against either the Rams, the Niners, or the Seahawks. And between the three, the Seahawks probably give me the most pause just because of that home field advantage they have. But it's like going to LA against the Rams, that's a team that we can kind of match up well against. And the Niners have been hot and cold, and their defense hasn't been all that great this year. So it's like things could be much worse. It just sucks that the NFC landscape looks the way it does in a year where we've been absolutely devastated by injuries.
I just don't know if you feel good beating the Bears. I don't know. Depends on how we look, I guess. But just feel, I don't know. Like, the Bears gave up 42 points last week. Like, it's not like they're hot either.
But they're still going to be more than likely the 2 seed in the NFC. Like, that's still, going on the road, winning a playoff game isn't nothing.
Yeah, I agree. I would be very happy to go win a playoff game.
Good.
TBD how I'll feel going into the following week if we do win that game.
But those are the best. It's like even the Cowboys playoff game or the Niner playoff game in 2023. Yeah, because it's like it's house money that you're playing with. You know, you have no expectations.
100%. And you don't have even like, because sometimes you have that little thing where you're like, this team sucks. I'd almost rather just have the better pick because I know it's not a Super Bowl team. It's like, hey, it doesn't matter. We don't have a first round pick.
Right.
So who cares?
Getting into the game here, again, losing 41-24. The score looks worse than it was, I feel like. Again, entering the fourth quarter, we were down a field goal, and then fucking Clayton Toon goes in and throws a pick, which was, well, it wasn't really his fault, but whatever.
Yeah, that was tough.
But
Bo Melton tipped it up in the air, right? That was that one?
Yeah, thank God he's getting those snaps. Malik Willis, 18 for 21, 288 yards, one touchdown, no picks, also ran 9 times for 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, what a fun game. I hope if he plays this week. I don't have plans to go to the game, but if he plays this week, it's like maybe
you want to go.
Maybe I'd go to the game. I was even looking because they have like those club seats where it's like you get free food, and I'm like, if those drop below $200, then maybe
it's almost worth it for the food,
right? Yeah, I'd just engorge myself.
It would be fun to go sit club.
Yeah, be high rollers, you know, like we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we always are. I sit first class all the time.
But Malik, I mean, great game. I mean, I'm sure we'll remember this forever. A couple of those plays were just fucking awesome where he's looks like he's going to get sacked. He, like, spins out of it, jukes another defender, picks up a first down. I mean, just the first drive, his first two passes, the bomb to Romeo. And I don't know if I've ever seen a ball float the way it did, like, off his hand. Like, it just floated up in the air, dropped right down to Romeo, perfect. And then the next play was just a laser to Watson for the touchdown. The first RPO QB keeper running the touchdown, did a Lambo leap. I don't think I've seen someone like hold the ball that long into the running back's tummy as he did on that play. Like as long as possible. It's like he had to rip it out of Emmanuel Wilson's gut so that he could run it and get that touchdown.
We call that a good mesh.
Yes. I played high school football.
I know. I was there.
I didn't. Third and 18, Willis hit Reed for 30. Another great one too. Like, big stakes. That's when we were backed up to, and it's like we need a play just to stay in it. Had the huge 32-yard throw to Watson after scrambling in the pocket. Again, thought he was getting sacked. Then he just rips a laser there too. And then one of my favorite plays of the year was, again, when he's behind the line of scrimmage. Two guys there. He like runs out of the pressure, faces the opposite side of the field, gets past the line of scrimmage, has two defenders there, and he just spins out of it to get the first down. I mean, he is just electrifying. Like, again, I hope he goes to the AFC next year. I hope he goes to the Dolphins because I think he could actually be a pretty decent player there. But, I mean, you can't ask more out of Malik Willis in this game.
I feel like he's got to go somewhere where you can design runs for him, too. Like, he is so electric. Like, he is second to Lamar. Like, who's more electric running the ball than him? Other than Lamar. Like, I can't think of a person. Like, there's other good runners out there. And, like, a guy like who's Jets quarterback. Why am I blanking? Former Justin Bears quarterback. Fields. Justin Fields is like a very strong runner, but not quite as electric. Like, he's strong. He breaks tackles. Like, he's like a running back more so. Where, like, Malik is, like, the acceleration. I don't know how fast he is top end, but, like, his acceleration is just, like, phenomenal. Like, you can't get a hold of him in the backfield. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but it was, like, he is Michael Vick 2004 in Madden, where you can just do whatever you want in the pocket.
He is kind of, like, shorter. He's not as short as Michael Vick. Michael Vick was... like what, 5'10", 5'11"?
I couldn't tell you the height of either one of them. I would think Malik Willis is 6'1", 6'2", and I don't know, maybe Mike Vick is like 6'.
6'6", even for Mike Vick, yeah.
Okay, shows you that I'm a genius, and am I a double genius?
6 foot even for Malik.
Oh, okay, so they're both the same size.
Literally carbon copy. Yeah.
The only negative that I would say for Malik in this game, I mean, when he got hurt, which isn't really his fault, but the other thing is just, and it's probably more of a Sean Ryan thing, but the fucking snaps, man. If we could snap a ball properly, we might have one more win.
The one that went off his dome.
And it was that. It was like the QB sneak, too, where they were just off a little bit, where Willis didn't look ready for it. And then obviously last week, the other muffed snap, whatever. What it is Malik like yells too loudly, so Sean thinks he's trying to get the ball, where he was like trying to can do a different play, and he just fucking snapped it at his face.
He literally said you could hear him can.
Yeah.
You could hear him on like the broadcast say can.
And it was like the most violent like reaction to getting hit, where he just goes straight back like it was a brick or something, and then he's just looking up in the air for the ball, which bounced right to the Ravens, so... Bummer. Again, very, very pitiful way to lose. God, and that was like 2nd and 3 on our own 20 or 30. Like, if we just didn't have those dumbass plays or, you know, going for it on 4th and out of shotgun and not getting it, it's like could have been a completely different game.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. Just like the dumb little, the snaps being bad, or just like felt like the line was just like letting guys through half the time. Like, it was just, there was little things. I mean, Malik did a great job, though.
The line played okay.
And to your point, too, of, like, seeing him, I want to see him go play somewhere next year and be successful. I think that would be just, like, a lot of fun to see. And good for him. Like, he's earned it. Doesn't complain. Just sits there, works. Every time he's been called upon, he's been, like, way better than what you would expect.
Well, I did send you that clip from his locker room availability last week where he said, anything Jordan can do, I can do. Anything I can do, Jordan can do. So I don't know. Maybe he thinks he should be starting.
I don't know if Jordan can run that fast.
No, probably not. And then, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Clayton, too, and 1 for 4, 8 yards in the pick. Thoughts on him?
Yeah, start somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bo Melton, so glad he was in the game. Wide receivers. Christian Watson, leading receiver, 5 receptions, 113 yards, the 1 touchdown. I think that was the first 100-yard receiver we've had on the season. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Dobbs did once. But
I can tell you that you're correct.
Okay, cool. Obviously, the huge touchdown off the get on 1st and 20, very cool. He had the one bad drop that was slightly behind him on 3rd and 17, which was kind of lame. He had the couple nice like sliding catches for over 20 yards, which was pretty cool. And then they showed him on the sideline at one point. This is very important. He went for a hand slap to Jaden Reed. Reed didn't see it, so he like kept his hand out for a while. But lucky enough for us, the camera didn't pan away until Jaden Reed did slap his hand. So he did get the high five he was looking for. Golden had a nice pickup on 2nd and 17, which forced 3rd and 5, which I think we picked up. Romeo Doubs, he finished 3 for 62. Obviously, the long for 40 down the sideline. Nice little bomb to him. And then Bo Melton had his one catch for 34 yards, which was beautiful. But then he dropped that ball late that turned into an interception. Snap counts for the back end guys there. Golden had 25. Reed had 24. Bo Melton had 17. I know we've been saying it this year, but I don't want to see Bo Melton on offense anymore this year. I just don't. We have enough good guys. I don't think we need him out there. Any other thoughts on the receivers?
No. yeah, it was good to see Watson. I mean, he looked like he was always open. And for how long Malik can hold on the ball and scramble in the pocket, I guess it is pretty easy to get open. But Watson just does feel like, you know, I feel like at the beginning of the year, we're like, who's the number one? Is there a number one? Is it Golden? Like, was that going to be the guy? And it's like, now it's like, can we sign Watson to a 4-year deal right now? Like, what can we do to extend this guy?
Yeah. And, but for real, we do have to wait until October or September, whatever it is, because you can't have two contracts within one calendar year.
In the calendar? Yeah. Wow. I did not know that.
Yep. That only...
You can't extend a guy in the same year that you sign a contract?
Nope. It popped up because of Jordan Love getting that one-year extension going into his first year starting, and that's how, I don't know, it became known within the Packers blogosphere.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know.
Tight end. So much to talk about. One catch, 8 yards for Josh Whiley. I don't know if you noticed this. He was wearing a guarding cap his first game back from the concussion. So that's going to protect him like Romeo Doubs last year. If things go the way they have in the past, I don't remember when Romeo had his first concussion last year, but he got the concussion, I think, late in the season, wore the guarding cap, and then in the playoffs, he got a concussion. So we will have to see if Josh Whiley gets a concussion while wearing a guarding cap in the first round of the playoffs.
Maybe it guarantees you one more, but then never again.
Yeah, true. For Romeo's sake, hopefully that's right. Whiley had 30 snaps. Musgrave had 20. Musgrave also had no targets in the game. No targets for Luke Musgrave. And then Dabney, I forgot his first name. He played 7 snaps after getting called up from the practice squad, but not a lot from the tight end position, obviously. Running back, oof. You see how many total running back runs there were for the Packers?
How many attempts?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it.
The answer is 8. 8 total running attempts from running backs.
Oh, from running backs.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, sorry if I wasn't clear on that.
It says 7 for me.
In the first half, the running backs gained 1 yard on 2 carries. Jacobs Jacobs, I mean, obviously not a very good game. I mean, what do I even want to... 4 carries, 3 yards. He had 1 target, which he dropped, I believe. He, like, slipped while the screen was getting set up. The fourth down run, 4th and inches out of shotgun, got tackled behind the line. I mean, tale as old as time. Brooks had a beautiful screen with Whiley blocking. That was fun. I love those little plays where just one little blocker up front and Chris Brooks waiting for the right time to break outside and let his blocking set up in front of him. Then he also had a terrible drop on 2nd and 9, which would have set up a 3rd and short. That was Malik Willis's first drop or first incompletion of the game.
And he had some room to run, too. That was the disappointing part.
Yep. Brooks, Wilson, Jacobs snaps were 21, 17, and 13. So Jacobs actually had the least amount of snaps. Obviously, probably holding him back so he can get a little healthy. But Chris Brooks leading the way when we were passing the ball a lot more makes sense. Offensive line. I mean, I don't even know what to say for him. They didn't run block well. Again, a 2.3-yard average for the running backs on the day. They allowed 8 pressures, 4 QB hits, and 2 sacks. And again, Ryan with another bad snap while he was audibling. This is like 3 in the last 2 weeks. Pretty bad. And what I thought about, too, do you remember the funny snap that Malik Willis had last year of note?
I'm remembering him like catch one up high, maybe.
So Josh Myers puked on the ball.
Oh, that was him?
And then snapped it to Malik. Yeah,
wasn't Jordan?
No, it was Malik. I remember because he was the one that commented on it after the game. So we've seen Malik Willis in a couple games here, and his center either pukes on the ball or can't get him the ball properly when he's behind center. So that's
almost every snap.
Yeah. Pass blocking grade. Oh, Jordan Morgan. He started at right tackle again. Played pretty well according to Pro Football Focus. He had a pass blocking grade of 83.6. And a run blocking grade of 75.4. So I know a lot of people, and we've been up and down on him too. I think we've always said he's not a guard, obviously, but maybe he'll be all right at tackle. He's showing right now that he can be solid at tackle. So we'll have to see what happens on Sunday against the Vikings, if maybe they move him to left tackle just for a pseudo preseason game. But Todd, thoughts on the O-line here? Are you impressed? Are you depressed? What are you?
I know Malik's holding the ball longer, and maybe that leads to some of these hits and pressures.
One sack was all him.
It didn't feel good. Like, I didn't feel like, I don't know. It just felt like they were letting too much by. The one sack where he rolls out, where Malik rolls out to the left, that has nothing to do with the line. So it's really just one sack. But I don't know. I didn't feel great about it. It's good to hear anyway. I didn't notice it being a problem, I guess. But I also didn't have a good feel for like how well did Jordan Morgan actually play. So it's good to hear that it seemingly he played fine.
Yeah. And overall, I thought the offensive line played fine. I think Banks had a bad hold or something. There was a couple dumb penalties. Maybe it was Rashid.
I just felt like most of his scrambles were warranted. Like he was getting flushed out of the pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe he was just feeling pressure that wasn't actually there and he should have ripped the ball. But either way, can't complain with the
simulated pressure.
Who's to say? It wasn't Jeff Hafley over there, so it's impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible.
But that's the offense. Todd, anything else
on
the offense?
Jeff Hafley, you mean Joe Barry?
Ooh, yeah. We'll get into some very fun stats here in a second that might back that up. But Todd, anything else? Offense, fun game?
It was a fun game. I do love watching Malik.
Yeah. Will you buy a Malik Willis jersey when he signs with a different team?
No, but if you were to give me one for free and it can't be a starter, that's the one I would take.
Cool. Okay. I like that.
Is that true? Maybe not. Probably.
Okay.
What would you take if I was going to give you one, but it can't be a starter?
What do you mean a starter?
It can't be somebody who's like starting caliber.
On our team?
On our team. I'm going to give you a free jersey, but it can't be a starter. Who are you picking?
My first thought is like Chris Brooks.
Ooh.
Just because it would be like, why do you have that?
It would be like, yeah, that is kind of a fun one.
Or like a Haversick jersey would be funny to have. Cox.
Yeah.
Cox would be kind of funny.
Brenton Cox would be a good one.
You get it?
That actually would be a fun one. I'd get what?
The joke.
What's the joke?
Cox.
Yeah, it's his last name.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have a quick commercial break.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
And we are back with the defense. The defense, if you remember, did not play well. Let up 41 points. Derrick Henry had 36 carries for 216 yards, a 6-yard average, 4 touchdowns. Pretty decent game for a running back. Yeah, it was one of those where on the first drive they start running, you're like, this might be an issue all night, and it actually ended up being an issue all night. Couple really
specifically at the end of the night.
A couple of really fun stats here. Midway through the second quarter, the Ravens had 131 yards rushing. The Packers had 1. Henry averaged what would be the most yards before contact and after contact in this game in the NFL. So if you like, you take the lowest or the highest yards per average before, highest after. He beat both of them in this game, which is pretty good if you're a Ravens fan, but we're not. The Packers were 10th.
Who's to say?
Were the 10th best run defense going into the game. They're now 15th. In total points, we were 6th. We are now 11th. Another fun stat, this one was from Zach Cruz. We now rank last in plays per drive, 6.8, and time of possession per drive, 3.18. The Packers allowed 25 runs of 5 yards or more versus Baltimore, most by a team over the last 4 seasons. Overall, pretty bad. If you look at those stats and you're trying to envision a defense that would allow that to happen, it's a pretty bad defense that happened to be the Packers' defense on Sunday. Todd, were you upset watching the run D?
I don't know if you just I don't like not upset. I just like when I saw him run on that first drive, I was like, it's going to be a long day, and it turned out to be a long day. Again, like if it wasn't, I feel like it's injuries. I could be wrong. Maybe he runs all over us with a healthy front 7, but I just feel like it just feels like the injuries play a big role. So that for that reason, I'm not mad. It just is what it is at this point. Like, they're just not going to be good at stopping a big, strong runner. Like, certain guys, they might match up great. Speed guys, good luck running against this defense. Those, the linebackers are too fast. But big, powerful running backs, I mean, and guards that can push the pile, like what we saw with the Bears 2 weeks ago. I mean, it just, what do you do?
I was going to say, they didn't even have to push the pile.
They were just moving us around.
Yeah, we were already 10. They were 10 yards downfield. And what you were kind of touching on there, too, is they didn't really run the ball all that great outside. It was just in between the tackles. We had no chance. And then Matt LaFleur on Monday during the presser said, one, he didn't say it, but he did hint at it, that he didn't like the effort from the defense, which is never a good thing. And he also said that, like, you know, this is week 17. They had guys lined up on the wrong spot and stunting when they shouldn't. He said, like, there were times where they should have had a guy over the center and then they were over, like, in the gap. It's like, okay, well, that's pretty bad. And it's just weird that it came. I know it wasn't, like, a super important game, but it's like, what are we, how does this even happen?
Yeah, and I wonder, too, I've used this as a crutch, I guess. This is a young team. So you do kind of wonder, like, is that part of it? I'm thinking about the defense now too. I'm like, how young is this, like, front seven? Like, Quay's been around for what? This is his fourth year. Cooper's been around for a couple. You got McDuffie, who's been around for seemingly forever. He's old as shit. I don't know. I was gonna use that as a crutch, but now I'm like, yeah, they're just not focused. Like, that seems like what it is.
Yeah, our leading snap getters on the defensive line, Brooks, Wooden, Brinson, Riley, died, tore his Achilles tendon. It's like every week now we get at least one or two season-ending injuries. Bohanna, who finally played in the game, number 76, he got cut after the game, so they must not have been very impressed with him. He was a gigantic man. I was texting you because he was number 76, which was Mike Daniels' number. He looked like Mike Daniels if Mike Daniels ate Mike Daniels. Like, he was a big fat fucker. But did you see who we brought in as a reinforcement?
Jonathan Ford,
someone who we have talked about on the podcast actually quite a bit. He was with the Packers for nearly 2 years. He was on the 53 for a full year, didn't suit up once. Then he was on the practice squad, didn't play for the Packers once, never recorded a snap. He's been with the Bears since last year, and now it looks like he will finally get a snap with the Packers. He wore number 99 when he first joined the team. That is now Baron Sorrell's number, I believe, so he will have to wear another one, sadly. I'm sure this is very important. Everyone finds it very interesting. But yeah, not a lot of help coming for this defensive line. We'll just have to see if they can find it in their heart to play harder, right? I think that's what we're all looking for.
Yeah, I just want to see a lot of heart in U.S. Bank Stadium this weekend.
So it'll be Jonathan Ford and Nazir Stackhouse, who was a healthy scratch in this game.
Ford will wear number 64. Did I miss that?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of yuck. But, like,
that's what happens.
You don't want your big uglies wearing, like, a good number. Right? If you're there to stop the run.
I don't know.
You can't wear 90. Oh, you could wear 99 and stop the run.
Yeah, I mean, Gilbert Brown, what was he, 98, 99?
Oh. It was like 98.
Yeah. But I mean, Kenny Clark, 97. That was a good number on him forever. 97 was also Riley, and then he died. But we'll see. We also averaged 2.21 defensive tackles on the field per play, which is the highest we've had all year, having at least three guys out there. So, you know, usually it's two, but this time we had 2.21. Mm. But still, again, Ravens averaged 5.8 yards per carry. Still sticking with the defensive line. I got to correct myself. A couple weeks ago, I said Gary wasn't a captain. He is a captain, but he probably shouldn't be. It just keeps getting from bad to worse with him, and now it seems like the coaching staff is catching on as well, where his snaps are going down and down and down. He, J.J. Anagbari led the team with 60 at the end position. LVN had 47, and Gary had 34, so almost half of what J.J. Anagbari played in the game. Justice Mosqueda put out a nice article.
That's what they call foreshadowing.
Put out a nice article talking about how bad Rashawn Gary has been. He's basically been historically awful for how many snaps he has played this year. This is one part of the article. Since 2018, there have been 206 edge defenders who have in a single season played at least 377 snaps as a pass rusher. Like Gary, Among those players, the average was 24 quick pressures per season. Gary has just 6. The average quick pressure rate in this group was 5.5%. Gary is at 1.6%. And a quick pressure is defined as a pressure that happens within 3 seconds of a drop back. So meaning it's not really so much the quarterback's fault, but you beating your offensive lineman. And Gary has been really...
You're creating pressure, not anything else.
Exactly. So Gary has been really, really bad at that. I mean, there's been a couple pressures he's had, I feel like, the last couple of weeks that are timed well on third down, but you would like to get, I don't know, a sack after October, and it's looking like he's not going to have a sack after the month of October.
I do feel bad shitting on him because I feel like it's the lack of explosiveness from when he got hurt. Like, ever since he got hurt, it's just never really been... Because that's really all he has is a bull rush, right? Like, he just has that explosive push and try and, you know, get around the edge or just bull rush and backtrack to the middle of the field. So it's like him losing that explosiveness, I think, just killed him, which is a bummer. But, like, in reality, like, when you don't put up numbers, people are going to complain and come after you if you're getting paid that much money, you know?
I guess. I mean, he's never had a double-digit sack season, but even the beginning of the year, he looked better. Last year,
he was on track okay. when he tore his ACL. Wasn't he on track for...
Yeah, yes, that year he would have been.
Like, it was a good amount that he was on track. He was playing well.
I don't know. It's tough. It's 3 years after the injury, and it's not, I don't know. I think it's tough to blame that now, especially when he hasn't been on the injury report at all either. They've asked him before if any of it is health related. And he
I'm just saying,
said no.
It's like, once you tear that ACL, sometimes you're never the same. That's what I think happened. I don't think he's still hurt. I think he never recovered.
Maybe, but I don't know. When you see the effort at times, too, it makes you question what's really going on there.
Don't come after Bain about effort.
And plus, after getting paid, maybe the effort has dwindled as well.
Whoa, gee, this is ridiculous.
LVN had a pressure in the red zone. Huntley slipped out of a sack on that one. Micah tweeted during the game, Lucas Van Ness speed to power is unmatched. He made a run stop from the ground, too, in the backfield, which is nice. Probably one of his best games of his career, which is nice coming back from that foot injury. If nothing else, it makes you feel better about next year for having a couple guys on the other side of Micah when we probably move on from Rashawn Gary and J.J. Ngabari signing somewhere else.
Legitimately, LVN was the only guy who could take Henry down on first contact.
Yeah.
Like, literally the only guy.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
He did it a couple times, too.
PFF gave him, like, a really good grade, too, an 89.6. I don't know if that's just his run defense or pass defense or what, but...
Holy shit, that's really good.
Yeah, they gave him a really, really good grade. JJ had a huge stop on second down, tackle for loss of 5 on Henry, which led to a 3rd and 14. JJ, after the game, and it was actually LVN who said JJ said this, JJ got like a group of players together and he like was questioning everyone's effort on defense during the game. So that's just a
JJ was.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So it's good to hear that
a
kind
true
of stuff.
Leader emerges.
Yeah. Gary's sitting in the corner crying while JJ's the jet plane getting everyone up with him.
JJ's like, look at that bitch over there. No, that's rude.
Linebackers don't have a bunch here. I mean, Cooper played fine. Quay did not have a great game. Some were questioning his effort as well. He allowed 5 of 6 passes to be completed for 37 yards on him, which isn't a huge deal, but when the quarterback only throws for 107 yards, that adds up pretty quick. Second,
people are questioning Quay's effort?
Yeah, I heard someone, one of the podcasts, people were questioning Quay, Keyshawn, Valentine, and some of the defensive linemen, which I would think adds up.
I don't know. I wouldn't come after Quay. Quay is C+ at his best in coverage. So
maybe he doesn't like the cold.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Georgia boy.
Secondary. Evan, I mean, just a pretty bad game overall for all these guys. Evan Williams had Henry unblocked in the hole on 3rd and 1 and whiffed. It was a touchdown the next play. Then Carrington Valentine, I mean, God, the terrible missed tackle at the line of scrimmage where he was running up on Flowers. Flowers just, like, didn't even break a towel, just kind of sidestepped him and then got the first down, which was 10 yards down the field. He had the other terrible attempt to tackle Henry where you've seen the super slow-mo. He's, like, punching the air, trying to pretend like he's doing something.
He got stiff-armed not even so, he got thrown like 5+ yards.
Yeah, it was really, really, it's like from bad to worse with him. Now it was like once every 2 months to now it's like every other week you're seeing Carrington get bitched like that.
But also, like, what are you expecting Carrington Valentine to do against Derrick Henry? Like, Derrick Henry is going to take his lunch 10 times out of 10.
I'd break down and take his knees out, you know?
You'd get concussed and broken ribs.
I would not. I'm a good form tackler, much better than Carrington. And then he let up that last touchdown pass, too, late in the game, so that was great. The 33-yard Henry run was a bad miss from Bullard. But again, he was a guy, too, who after the game was saying we need to fucking figure out the run defense or we can't tackle. He was very upset, which was...
Actually, he had a good comment. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was something to the effect of, like, we're not going anywhere in the playoffs or something,
basically. If you can't figure out the run defense. Did you watch the video?
No, I didn't. It's
just very funny because he's dressed up like an absolute fucking idiot. He looks like, like Sir Mix-a-Lot, like he, which is a great reference.
Ooh,
but it's like big pants, like, you know, weird hat thing, glasses. And then he's like, we got to figure out the run defense. It's like, dude, you're dressed up like, who was the pop? Who was the pop star in a Goofy movie?
A Goofy movie?
Yeah,
like with Goofy, the dog thing.
Yeah, and his son Max.
I have no idea. There's a pop star. I'm so lost.
Okay, well, you gotta watch a Goofy.
No,
movie.
No, there's a movie called Pop Star.
True.
Also good.
You gotta watch a Goofy movie with your boys. They can have a good cry. It's all about sons and fathers.
I'm just finding it out. I'm also not into crying about Goofy.
You don't have to cry.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a requirement.
Nate Hobbs got hurt after playing pretty well the last 3 weeks, I thought. And God, it was... I wonder how Carrington Valentine feels, because he got benched on early downs for Hobbs, and then Hobbs got hurt. So then Kamal Hayden came in. Kamal Hayden got hurt, so then Valentine had to come back out. He's on IR too, him and Riley both on IR, which is just a bummer because we don't even get to see what Kamal Hayden is in this pseudo preseason game. But yeah, I don't know, not good. And then Nixon did have one good pass breakup in the end zone after the Sean Ryan fumble, which forced a field goal instead of a kick. So he did have one positive play, but that was the defense. Do you have anything else to say about the really, really good defense?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe they would have been good defending the pass this week.
There you go.
We'll never know.
Yeah. I like that. They were prepared for Huntley to air it out.
They were prepared for an air raid offense.
This is actually Jeff Hafley's fault.
And they got ground and pound with the biggest running back in the NFL. Oh, weird.
Special teams, there was a big hold call on the Ravens late. I mean, it didn't matter because whatever. They started at the 15, though. I just thought maybe it was going to be a bigger deal. We kicked that one field goal. What did you think about when we kicked that field goal? Were you happy we did?
Well, I literally don't even remember.
We kicked it to go down 10, which I could see people being upset with. Obviously, it didn't end up mattering, but it did help us get within 3 points later on. But...
Oh, we kicked a field goal, yeah, in the beginning of the third quarter.
Yeah.
To go down 10, or yeah, I don't even know.
Okay. Nate Hobbs was lined up as a kick returner with Savion Williams out of this game. Emmanuel Wilson, oh my God, I don't know if anyone else noticed this. Did you see Emmanuel Wilson? He started to kneel it on the kickoff when he was like two yards out of the end zone, and then he realized where he was, and then he just got up and ran it.
Made a comment to whoever was sitting next to me, I can't remember, and I was like, if your job is to catch the ball and run, that's it. Know where you are in the field and catch the ball and run. Or don't.
I do.
It's one or the other.
I do wonder if why they don't, and maybe I'm wrong here, but why they don't let the ball bounce into the end zone and then out of it if it's like close, right? Because shouldn't it bounce out of the end zone no matter what? Like, it's not going to bounce forward on a kickoff.
I don't even know the new rules anymore.
Yeah,
like, fair. I have no idea what the rules are. If it bounces out, they get the ball back. I have no idea. But my thing is just like, it feels like there's no, you know, when you just like, I feel like 2011 with Aaron Rodgers, like we couldn't do anything wrong. This is the opposite. It's like plays that are easy, we just like make them hard.
Yeah.
You're just like, there's no like flow to the game ever.
in spurts, but yeah, it's been a long while since.
Yeah, you might get a quarter of flow.
I did see the stat this week too. I think I mentioned it last week and I finally saw it. The Packers do have the third worst field goal luck in the entire NFL, meaning opposing teams make so many field goals against us, and we also have the worst opposing catch luck, meaning opposing teams catch everything that is catchable to them. Like, we had one, I remember we had a couple big drops against the Lions, but other than that, I can't really remember opposing team dropping a lot of balls. And what do you know? It's good.
How does that work? So it's a luck thing where it's like just they catch everything on us? Like, that's, or they're just saying like the stat is that they just catch. Is it bad coverage? Is that luck?
No, it's catchable balls that are dropped for every team. And then they just calculate it and then run it for the opposite for who you played.
But we're the opposite.
Right.
So they catch everything against us.
Correct.
It does feel that way.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Like, how many years in the playoffs is it like one big throw in our playoffs over?
Well, this was this season, but either way, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Oh, there. Okay. Gotcha. It was just this
season. Just this season.
I'm just imagining, like, it feels like Tremont Williams got burned for a deep touchdown. Like, every season we made it, every time we made it to the championship.
Yeah. Giants.
Isn't that
Seahawks,
what it feels like?
Yeah. Falcons. Yeah, that all sounds
the
right.
Falcons. Yep.
Yeah, not Gunter. A couple other things I had too. The refs calling a too many men on the field when there was 11 men on the field. How do you fuck that up? Apparently, like, three refs threw a flag too.
I don't understand. What do you look? You have to count.
Dumb.
You have to go out of your way to be wrong.
You know what's bad? When LaFleur takes out the challenge flag and then New York overturned it before he could even throw the flag. Like, that was bad.
That is one thing I'm thankful for, because that one was so bad. It's like, if we shouldn't have to waste time talking about it. Yeah. So thank God New York stepped in.
My only other note for this game, Peacock had kind of a different sound mix. I feel like you could hear every single song that was played at Lambeau. And I just wanted to reiterate how bad the selection is at Lambeau, where it still feels like it's 2004 at Lambeau Field with the songs that they play.
You don't feel nostalgic about it?
No, because it's kind of like that weird, it's not like...
It's not far enough back.
Right. It's just kind of like, this is outdated, not vintage.
It feels vintage. Vintage is only like, what, 20 years old?
Yeah, but not 2005. Really. I mean, it's like Sandstorm and like other stupid shit. Like,
I know Sandstorm.
Yeah, okay.
Keep going.
No, there's a lot of pausing there, so it wouldn't be that great for audio, even though
we get the gist, though.
Yeah. With that, you want to talk about this game anymore?
Not really.
Cool.
For being honest.
All right. Take news for the week.
Football time. Take news.
All right. Take news for the week. You know, it's been kind of crummy these last couple of weeks. We're at the highest of highs, and now we're pretty low. Not the lowest of lows. We're going to the playoffs, but I don't think we feel as great about the team as we did a couple of weeks ago. So, Todd, why don't we just talk about it right now? What is the biggest issue with this team right now? Is it the coaching? Is it the overall roster? Is it the injuries? And can this actually be a good thing?
I don't really know how it's a good thing. I'm going to say it's the injuries. Be consistent on that one. I think the injuries are a big problem. I think ever since Micah went down, like, the feel on defense, like the aggressiveness on defense is just like gone. It's just that we transformed into a Joe Barry defense. Like, nobody's attacking. That's not true. Not nobody. But it's just that edge is gone. So I think it's injuries. I don't think it's a good thing. Like, could you spin it as a good thing if we had a first-round pick and we could get a lower one? It's like, we'll get a better draft. And then
5 draft spots.
I don't know. Like, how do you even spin that as a good thing with the injuries? I think it sucks. Like, hopeful that Tucker Kraft and Micah come back as explosive as they were before in weeks 7 and 9, whenever they come back, you know. But I guess the one positive would be there's some young guys getting snaps maybe that wouldn't otherwise, specifically on that D line, like Baron Sorrell and Warren Brinson are getting snaps that maybe they wouldn't otherwise. Is that the positive? I don't know.
Sure.
Silver lining.
I guess I have two positive things. One, I agree, it's like the injuries. Two, I mean, God, it's tough. It's tough to, like, who should get more blame, LaFleur or Goody? And I kind of want to get on Goody because it's like the corners. There hasn't really been much for injuries there, and they haven't been good. The defensive line, it's like you should have made a more solidifying move on that defensive line after trading away Kenny Clark. Like, it shouldn't have even cost you all that much. The way I'm looking at this at potentially being a good thing, and one might be misleading because I didn't set you up for it, but one, maybe Jordan Love now has something to prove. I don't think he's going to play week 18 against Minnesota, but I'm sure he's seen some of the chatter about Malik Willis being so good and the Packers obviously not playing all that well. And now it's like, okay, if he can go into the playoffs and have a 2023 Cowboys type game, people are going to forget about Malik Willis pretty quick. And the other positive is because we played so poorly the last couple weeks, week 18 is a bye week. So we can rest a bunch of guys and get healthy. You know, Josh Jacobs has been banged up. Dontavian Wicks had a concussion. Evan Williams is limping. We didn't have Zach Tom in this game. Tucker Kraft is still going to be hurt. But there are some positives to look at.
I love, since we played so poorly, we get a bye week.
A surprise bye.
It's true. Yeah, because it literally doesn't matter what we do. It's out of our
hands.
Which
sucks, because if we won this week, we potentially could still get the 2 seed this week, albeit Detroit doesn't look very good. If we won last week and the Bears lose to the Lions and we beat the Vikings.
Week. Yes. Yes. If we won last week, yeah. But no. So it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There is small intermediate positives, right? Of like, oh, bye week, or, you know, I don't know. I think there's a next to 0% chance that Jordan Love gives two fucks about what people say about Malik Willis. I think he's probably happy for him.
Probably.
Right? Like, Jordan Love knows this is his team. Malik's moving on next year.
We'll see. Saw a whole lot of players repost Malik Willis' stat line on Instagram, which makes you think that there's a mutiny.
He's a stud. I hope that he gets over $25 million a year next year so that we can get a third-round pick.
Fair. So let me... Okay, I'm going to say this and we'll move on to the next thing. If I could, you know... If you can guarantee... Can't guarantee.
If we could, though.
First... So, playoffs. If we score on the first drive of that game, then I'm happy. You know, if you tell me right now we score in the first drive in our playoff game.
Touchdown or just
touchdown?
Score
touchdown.
Okay.
I'm like, we're winning this game. We're winning a playoff game. But there's nothing can get me up to that until we get there. So now it's just like, everything's going to suck. But
everything sucks until we go 3 and out.
No. 3 and out because the third play is a touchdown. But then once that happens, it's like, oh, all that other shit doesn't matter. You know, then everything's Gucci again.
I'm in for being excited about that playoff game. That is totally...
Cool.
I'm with you there.
Good, okay.
This upcoming one. Actually, you know what? It's low stakes. I'm excited to just watch the game against the Vikings, and I pray that Malik plays.
God, it's been a while since we had a no-meaning regular season game.
And a division game at that, too. Like, it's just a weird... I'm curious, like...
2018.
Are the Vikings... Are they?
They're 8-8.
Are they playing all their starters?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I just want, like, it seems like something that they would do because it's us. But we're not going to play all our starters.
Yeah, it'll be. I wouldn't be surprised if they have, like, older guys. Well, I don't know because they're not playing for nothing either. Because Justin Jefferson probably still wants to get some stats padded because he hasn't had a very good year, so.
Right. Who's got contract numbers that he needs
to hit? Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah, I guess we won't know until Sunday. Next topic for Take News, Trayvon Diggs. Do you want to sign Trayvon Diggs? He was cut by the Cowboys today. He hasn't been very good the last 3 or 4 years. He has the worst allowed passer rating in the NFL this season. Todd, do you want to sign Trayvon Diggs?
Yeah, not to like a real contract, but like let's kick the tires. Let's see.
I saw with his contract, we'd have to pay him like $500,000 to claim him for one game, for one regular season game, and then it's like $60,000 for his playoff salary or whatever.
So does that get us anything if we like him? Like let's say...
So you would have to claim his contract. He has 2 years left, but he would be owed $14 million next year, which you don't want to pay. So it's basically you claim him, pay him $500,000, which is what he's due on his contract to play out. I think it's his, you know, per game, whatever it is.
That's the remaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you would cut him after this year.
I think for $500,000, why not?
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. I mean, I don't think he's very good, but the one thing that he is a ball hawk. Like, he led the league in picks in like 2022 or whatever the hell it was, 2021. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing we have been lacking. Nate Hobbs being hurt, Hayden going down with his ankle or leg busting into multiple pieces. At this point, it's like, why not? We did call up two practice squad corners to the 53,
yep,
including Bartholomew. So we'll see if they actually play anything, but just something to note. Just, you know, wouldn't be shocked if something like that happened.
Shamar Bartholomew and Jalen Simpson.
There you go.
Love it. Love the names.
Only other thing is Micah Parsons did have his ACL surgery today, about a week or two after Patrick Mahomes had his. Not really all that interesting, but did you see the name of the doctor, the surgeon?
I saw it, but I couldn't tell you what it said.
Well, let me read the whole thing. So one.
It was California, right?
Yep.
Cali boy.
Orthopedic surgeon Neil L. Atrache. And it's spelled like attach. Because he attaches.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's E-L-A-T-T-R-A-C-H-E. So attach is in there. It's like a Steve Rule attach.
Yep. Attrache.
The one. So we'll. Tell me if any of this gives you pause. El Atrache is the head physician for the Los Angeles Rams and Los Angeles Dodgers and a world-renowned orthopedic surgeon. He has worked with numerous high-level athletes across sporting leagues, including former Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers and current Packers defensive end Rashawn Gary.
Oh, no.
Any pause there? What? Are you glad it's not David Bakhtiari?
That's true, yeah. Whoever did Dave's knee. I'd rather have Gary's knee than Dave's, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I don't have any... Like, I guess... So he's the team physician for who?
The Rams and the Dodgers. The Dodgers are
Rams
a baseball
and the
team.
Dodgers. The Dodgers... Yeah, they're not a dodgeball team.
No.
I don't know. I don't know who's good anymore. Who was the guy who used to do everyone's knees? Who was that?
I don't know. I think McKenzie does like feet and ankles, and he's not our...
Okay.
But
Yeah.
Very, very important. With that, Todd, do you have the stump spending for the week?
I do. Christian Watson was the first Packers really wide receiver with a 100-yard receiving game in more than a calendar year. That's why I knew. Who was the last wide receiver prior to that with a 100-yard game?
And for those at home, I am 9-8 on the year currently.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get this one right, I would be over 500 for the season. If I get it wrong, then it would come down to the playoffs.
Well, do we do stumps?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
we do.
Are they worth two then in the playoffs?
No.
Oh, okay.
doesn't matter. It's if I'm over, well, whatever. If we go to the NFC Championship game, then I guess it would matter more. Last one to have 100 yards.
Prior to last week, who was the last 100-yard receiver?
So in 2023, it was Bo Melton. But we had to have had one last year. I don't think it was Wicks. I don't think it was Dobbs. I don't think it was Watson. I'm going to go with Jaden Reed.
Final answer?
Yeah.
It was Watson on December 5th against Detroit.
Last year.
Yep.
Oh, fuck. We lost that game? Yeah, I'm not going to remember that. Yeah, that game sucked. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, got him.
Okay. 9-9.
500.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll have to see what goes next week. With that, we have the preview, the very important preview. This is the least amount I've ever prepared for a preview, I think, since we've done the podcast, because I don't really care about the Vikings team that we are going up against on Sunday. And I don't think CBS really cares either. The Packers are playing the Vikings at US Bank Stadium.
Wait, can you give the announcers first?
I always do. And I should, the sideline one too is just quite the name. We're playing noon Sunday against the Vikings. The Vikings are 6.5-point favorites. Over under is 36.5, which I think is the lowest numbers we've had all year. The announcers, these are the announcers. Sparrow Dedes, Adam Archuleta, and Aditi Kinkahapawala.
Can you pronounce the last one again?
Kinkahapawala. It's getting worse. I have a long, dumb last name, so I'm allowed to make fun of other people's weird last names.
That's true.
So no one get upset with me there. But yeah, I've never heard of these people before. Adam Archuleta used to play in the NFL.
Yep.
I had to look it up because I was like, is this the guy from American Idol? There was a David Archuleta.
David Archuleta. I was, yeah.
I did not look to see if they are related, but they are both white men, so who knows? The Vikes, do you see what their record is?
First of all, do you know who Adam Archuleta is, though, right?
Yeah.
He was like the initial Rascot.
Oh, yeah? I didn't remember that.
He was like, he weighed like 210 pounds coming into the league, and he bench pressed 225, like, it was an insane amount, like 28 times. And he had like a 42-inch vertical. He could squat like 700 pounds. Like, okay. He was a Rascot at safety. So it's like he's the original Rascot. That's what he's known for.
Well, we'll have to see if he's a meathead in the booth or if he has brains with the brawn that he had in the NFL.
Side note, do you know what his claim to fame is as far as like his training?
Great singer.
The Soviet like athletic program is like what he used to get that strong.
So he's a communist.
I don't know anything about his political beliefs,
okay.
But his hamstrings are communists.
Great point. The Vikes are 8-8. Who has a better record right now, the Vikings or the Lions?
I actually don't know. It's got to be the Lions.
Trick question. I believe they're both 8-8, you fucking idiot. Isn't that wild, though, how like the Lions got eliminated from the playoffs a week ago, and now they have the same record as the Vikings? Like, the Vikings have been on a little bit of a tear here of late.
Oh, huge tear.
So breaking down the Vikings, this is what I have written. Offense, it's probably Brosmer, the Gophers quarterback. JJ has like a fake broken hand or something, so we'll see if he actually plays.
Who's been more fake hurt? Is it Xavier Rhodes or
JJ McCarthy? Xavier Rhodes, the old corner for the Vikings, he would always get hurt, but he would come back into the game. JJ gets hurt, and then
so JJ is so the more phantom injury.
Yeah.
Remember when he broke his ankle was so bad he couldn't play, and then he's high jumping over guys flying off the sidelines? Yeah. It's like, I think he could have played today.
He was soft benched. Vikings players, I mean, Justin Jefferson, I assume he'll play in this game. He's got to pad some stats. Jordan Addison, their number two. Naylor, their third. He's a guy that a lot of Viking fans want them to bring back. A lot of people have said he's been like their most impressive receiver this year, and a lot of fans don't like Jordan Addison's hands. He drops a lot of balls. Jesus, this is how bad it was. I wrote Rudolph for pass catchers.
Kyle.
Yeah. Hawkinson is their tight end. Might be his last year with the Vikings, too. His contract is pretty big. Their O-line is hurting. Their center, I forgot his name, but he's probably going to have to retire after getting two concussions this year. He had a concussion early in the season, and was him and Han if he still wanted to play. Then he got another concussion, so real bummer for that guy. And then Christian Darrisaw is on the IR after having a weird comeback year after tearing his ACL last year. I feel like he played in like half the games, and he kind of came out of a handful of them too. Their defense obviously was good on Christmas against the Lions. Harrison Smith had his one last good game probably. Dallas Turner, the defensive end, has been pretty good as of late, the second-round player. They have Gink, the Ginkmeister, the other end, who's always played really well, always seems to get his hands on balls at the line. Eric Wilson, of course, everyone remembers him. He's had a really, really good year for them. I think he has a bunch of tackles for loss, a bunch of sacks. He's been like the one bright spot at the inside linebacker position. I think they re-signed another one of their guys who hasn't lived up to it. And then, yeah, their corners suck. Their safeties are bleh. They aren't a very good football team. I mean, they've been eking out these games here. Who they played before the Lions?
I can pull it up here.
Yeah, it's all very important. But I don't know. It's going to be a weird game. Again, it's going to be the most close to a preseason game as we had in like 2018.
They played the Cowboys, or the Giants, and then the Cowboys.
That's right. They beat the Giants, who played really bad, and then they had a pretty good game against the Cowboys. That's right. But I guess, honestly, the things I have written down important for this game, are we going to see Jordan Morgan at left tackle? Maybe just sit down Rashid Walker. It's going to be kind of interesting, too, because during the preseason, you have 90 guys on your roster, and you can suit them all up. Well, now we only have 53, and we have 48 active on game day, so we can call up two guys from the practice squad. So technically, you can sit like seven guys. So some guys, okay, I'm sure, will suit up and maybe not play all that much. We'll see. I hope we don't half-ass it like we did against the Bears week 18 last year, where we lost and got banged up in the process.
Yeah,
Christian Watson tearing his ACL, Jordan Love hurting his elbow. So Jordan Morgan at left tackle, maybe we'll see that. I'd like to see our cornerback depth, which will have to get tested in the playoffs here now that Hobbs is hurt. We haven't had an update yet. Hayden obviously being out for the year, but having the two practice squad guys get called up. Tyron Hopper game, I assume Cooper and Quay are probably going to have their snaps limited. So again, we've been talking about all year how Quay Walker has a contract on the table, which he hasn't signed. The more time has gone on, the more it seems like he's going to be gone, which, I mean, do you want Quay back next year if it's for like 15 mil per year, which is probably what it'll be?
15 mil per year. I would just really like to see what Hopper has in the tank, just because, I mean, people said a lot of good things about him in training camp from the very limited amount of snaps we've seen. Like, he is an aggressive, like, see ball, get ball, like, back, which is kind of what Quay is anyway. So, like, maybe that fits there. I don't know. He's not as athletic. I think is a big knock on him in coverage in college as well, if I'm remembering correctly. So it's like kind of like Quay light without the athleticism. So is Quay better? For sure, especially right now. But there's dollars that have to go elsewhere as well.
Right.
So that's a tough spot to be in, where you, like, you look at Quay's contract and you're like, could we get by without him? I think the answer is yes.
Right. And that's where I'm at too. We're cash strapped. We don't have a lot of draft, you know, we don't have our first round draft picks these next two. And it's like, there's other spots where we got holes, I feel like, where we can probably manage this. McDuffie's played pretty well. We gave him like a 2 or 3 year extension last year. And we'll have to see how Tyron Hopper plays, but I don't think it'd be the worst to go into a season with Tyron Hopper and
you have to
Cooper.
Look at, like, who are you cutting? And it's like, I think Quay is on the list of, like, guys you just can't bring back.
Right, because it's probably going to be a pretty hefty deal too. And then my other note is, can anyone play defensive tackle? Getting Jonathan Ford in there, Nazir Stackhouse, and then all the other, yep, you know, the group of bums, we'll have to see if they can hold up. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's tough. The defensive line, it's like we couldn't manage to have any injuries there, and then we lose Wyatt, and now it's just like, I don't know why a team with any running capability wouldn't just run like the Ravens did.
100%.
And I don't know, maybe we'll see with the Vikings if that's what they're going to try to do.
They're obviously not as capable of running between the tackles as far as just like pure power as the Bears and Ravens were, but I guess I wouldn't be surprised also if they put up over 200 yards on the ground. That would be,
That would be bad. Yeah. I'm curious to hear from Halfley on Thursday too, for how he's going to rationalize the performance on Saturday.
Also, the more I think about it, wasn't Brosmer, did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he throw for like negative yardage and they still won the game or something?
It was
some
net.
Ridiculous stat.
He threw for like 40 or 50 yards and they lost like 47 on sacks.
Okay, that's what it is. His net number was
right.
Really bad. Okay, gotcha. But anyway, like regardless, that's not a guy who's going to come out and throw the ball. They're going to run the ball.
Yeah, probably. God, no.
100%.
If it's Brosmer versus Clayton Tune, we haven't even said. I hope Malik Willis can play,
yes,
just so that it's entertaining. He obviously,
edge us if we get Malik, obviously.
Yeah. It's interesting because, again, we're getting 6.5 points. But if it's announced that Malik is starting, I would bet we're like favorites or it's like a pick 'em. You know, just because I think he really does change it that much compared to like Clayton Tune.
Yeah.
If it's Clayton Tune versus Matt Brosmer, whatever the fuck his name is, this could go.
Who do you want? Who would you pick?
I'm
backyard football.
Tune or Brosmer?
I take Tune every day.
Yeah, I take Tune every day too. Guys, I'll tell you what. He might have gotten picked off right away, but it wasn't his fault. He didn't point fingers.
It actually wasn't his fault.
And he went right out there, and he had another completion and two more incompletions. So it shows that he's got some moxie.
Not scared.
And it's kind of a fun last name, too. You know, like the Looney Tunes?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Or singing a tune.
Well, hopefully they're not playing against the Monstars.
Yeah. What's your favorite tune to sing?
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
You're a dwarf.
It's off to work we go.
Right. Hell yeah. So what's the matchup you're looking forward to the most in this game?
I don't even know, like, matchup against. I just want to see. I want to see. Can Colin Oliver get on the field? Is it allowed?
Oh, I'm glad you brought him up because I totally forgot about him. Yes, he should probably play in this game.
I want to see.
This is it is such a fucking preseason game. Goddamn.
Colin Oliver and Bretton Cox across from each
meet
other.
Meet at the quarterback.
Terrorizing. I don't even remember his name anymore. What's his name?
Brosmer.
Brosmer. Terrorizing.
They have a really shitty backup
tackle. It's like a bad
too.
Bowl game. This is like a bad bowl game.
I think their backup tackle is like Schoon or School or Shoe or something. So, God, that would be pretty funny if... Colin Oliver turns into Za'Darius Smith 2021 and just has like four sacks in the game. That would be something.
Skule. S-K-U-L-E.
Okay.
It's from Vandy.
You know what Colin Oliver is going to do?
What's he going to do?
He's going to skewer him.
Oh, he's going to school.
Mm-hmm. Or skewer. I was trying to go for both there.
You know what tandem is also pretty good? Bretton Cox, Aaron Mosby. Remember when they... It was like... Was that 2 years ago when they were like... It might have actually been. Creating a little bit of pressure.
I think it was Mosby, yeah, because they were sneaky, like, all right. Like, I think Mosby had, like, three sacks last year. Cox probably had,
they
like,
four
or five.
They would come out with just the freshest of legs right. And, like, turn the edge.
Undersized, yeah. I think something I saw, too, is Brenton Cox is a free agent this year, either restricted or exclusive rights. So it'll be not like it's a huge loss he would be, but when
Let's
you're...
Let's have him come out and get four sacks and be like, fuck. Yeah.
Well, then we'd probably just slap whatever tag on him, but I don't know if you want to pay him a couple $1 million when he's kind
Do
of
Do we see Ketan Oladapo as a deep safety?
Probably. God, see, these are...
You think?
People, yeah, you know, now I'm getting more and more excited for this game. Like, Ketan Oladapo, these are names you don't hear. We haven't heard these names since August.
I know, I am a little bit excited about it. I am honestly excited to see Hopper.
Yep.
Because you know he's going to get a lot of snaps. Oh, yeah. I'd love to see Colin Oliver. Yep. I don't think they put Ketan in.
Yeah. Oh, and we did sign to the practice squad Damian Martinez, I think is his name. He's a big name in fantasy football circles for Dynasty Fantasy Football. Yeah, he was kind of like a late sleeper because he was really productive at Oklahoma State in college.
Okay.
And like I took him in like the fourth round of a rookie draft because I'm like, the Seahawks, he was drafted by the Seahawks in the seventh round. They had Walker and Charbonnet in front of him. Walker's in a contract year. None of them have really been super impressive. However, he was never on the 53, he was on the practice squad and got cut. So I don't know if he's much of a pro, but he's a guy that a lot of people had in like their top 100 players for last year's draft too. So curious to see if we see anything out of him, especially this week too, when Josh Jacobs, I mean, he might be a guy that they're not going to suit up at all. So maybe he'd get some crack at it there, because our other practice squad running back, I forgot his name, but he's already been called up twice, so you'd have to move him to the active roster if you want to play him. But yeah, Todd, with all that being said, what is your score prediction for this game?
My score prediction, this one, just feeling like there's not, I feel like it's just going to be like this is like Iowa, Nebraska going at it. Like, it's just going to be a slugfest of, like, who can run the ball a little bit better. I think 18-14. I think the Packers lose.
Okay. Hey, what did you tell me before we started recording today, if we win?
I don't even
remember. What magical thing will happen if we win this game? What will our record be?
If we win this game, our record would be 10-6. And one, and if you if you rewind the clock back to a 1:20 2010-2011 season when the Packers mm-hmm. went into the playoffs as the last seed. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was the sixth mm-hmm. seed. They came in at 10-6. Now, the Bears...
We're not trying to freak anyone out.
The Bears that season were also... So their record was, what did I say, 11-5?
I don't know.
If the Bears tie this weekend with the Lions, mm-hmm. they will be 11-5-1. And they will be the 2 seed. I don't know if they're probably the 1 seed way back.
I don't remember. That's a good question, but it's not important. Remember.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't fit into the narrative. Also, Jordan Love is 27. Aaron Rodgers is 27. Nobody has said that this mm-hmm. year. I'm the first one to figure it out. So
there you go.
People are talking.
Makes you think.
I don't know.
Did I say my score prediction?
No.
21-24 Vikings. I think the game's going to suck, but it's going to be fun if Malik plays. What is Billy's score prediction?
Billy's score prediction was 26-17 Minnesota.
Ooh, okay. What was it?
26-17 Minnesota.
Fair. Okay, what is your bold prediction, Todd? I forgot about my bold prediction. I should have brought it up earlier.
I'm going to do Billy's first, because I want to get your thoughts on this one. Mm. Bold prediction for Billy is 100-plus rushing yards for Malik Willis.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that would be nuts.
I kind of don't think it's that nuts.
I do. When's the last time?
This is like the first.
When's the last time a quarterback had over 100 yards rushing in the league? Probably hasn't happened this year.
Maybe that is. I just
I think
feel
that's
like
bold. I think that's pretty bold.
I just feel like, who's he going to throw to? Like, I don't.
He was throwing just fine. We have a lot of.
Christian Watson's not playing.
Okay,
he can't.
Oh no, he has to throw to Dontavian Wicks, Bo Melton, and Matthew Golden. And whoever else from, like, it's not going to be bad. Oh, no, Luke Musgrave. He's a Giant. I don't think it's going to be bad. Okay, fine.
My bold prediction is, this is a tough one. I was going back and forth between Colin Oliver, something with Colin, but it's like a Colin's, like, probably not going to get on the field.
I think he will.
So I was going to go.
I hope he, if he doesn't play, I'm going to be upset on Sunday.
I just feel if he does play, he's not going to.
I totally forgot about him half hour ago. Now I will be upset if he isn't playing.
I wanted to go with something that was going to be a little bit more fun because I feel like he's going to get a bulk of the snaps. So I was going to go Tyron Hopper creates a turnover. Bold enough?
Sure.
He's played like 4 snaps yeah. this year.
It's funny how you said like creates a turnover, I guess, but.
If he pushes
Rashawn Gary into the quarterback and they fumble,
no,
does it, okay.
It's him, a forced fumble,
okay.
or a pick or something like that. I guess what else could be creating a block? He could block a punt. I don't know if he's even on.
Well, TBD. TBD on all of these.
I'm leaving myself open to special teams plays.
My bold prediction. I should have mentioned this when we were talking about potential things to see in this game. Bo Melton INT. I want to see Bo Melton play defense.
He hasn't had a snap on defense.
I know.
Right?
I want him to play on defense.
Okay.
The depth.
That's bold.
The depth is being. The depth is being tested. There is a couple fun things here. Jordan Morgan playing offensive line. Bo Melton playing corner. Tyron Hopper. Colin Oliver. So yeah, there's a couple things to look forward here too. Maybe Malik Willis will play. But yeah, I have Bo Melton, his first career catch. As a defensive player.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good one. It would be fun to just see him out there and see what he's got. Like, since they've made him the trans, I want to see what he's
got. Could you imagine he gets, like,
I
want to
see him backpedal.
He's, like, terrible. They're like, oh, he's been on.
He's obviously a great athlete. Like, nobody... Yeah. It's fine that he moved to that spot because he's a great athlete, but yeah. I do just want to see, like, what... Can he turn his hips and run with somebody? Like, I don't know. It'd be fun to see.
People are asking.
Put him on JJ. Have him here.
No, I do. I want to get that picture. Bo Melton lined up on Justin Jefferson. That would be great.
And then grittying over the top of him.
With that is the episode. If you could please leave a 5-star review or a rating, whatever, on Apple or Spotify, that would be great. We'll send you a koozie if you want it. DM us on Twitter or email us, pmppodcast@gmail.com. We did get 3 comments this week, Todd. Are you ready?
I was born ready.
This is from Michael, who said, but did you know Aaron was Aaron already in 2010 before he went nuclear in the playoffs? I assume this is him talking about us being optimistic last week that Jordan Love could turn it on or whatever for the playoffs, and he's
sure.
potentially getting on us. I would say this. One, Aaron Rodgers was not a Pro Bowler in 2010. The year that we won the Super Bowl, he was in 2009. That doesn't matter. Jordan Love should have been a Pro Bowler this year. Two, I mean, Jordan Love,
yeah.
you know, went nuclear in 2023, so he's fully capable of doing it again. Obviously, it's a little tougher. But it's like he was banged up a lot of that 2010 season, too. I mean, I still remember Terry Bradshaw saying that Matt Ryan was a much better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers, he had his moments, but especially like the Falcons game, that's when he just went Super Saiyan mode. And then if you remember, you know, the NFC Championship game, I think what the score was 10-7. The best play he made in that yeah. game was a tackle on Brian Urlacher. So it's like,
oh, right.
There are levels to it, but I think.
Didn't he naked boot? And run it in too?
I believe so, yes. He had the run.
That was a good show. Play.
Yeah. So we'll see. Obviously, you know, knowing Rodgers, yes, it would be more likely that Rodgers would go on a tear if he were 27 years old, but Jordan Love isn't terrible. He's still like top three in EPA per play in the NFL, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
We got this one from Ben and Hobot. No, not enough ice in Tasmania for ice fishing, but we did have a bit of snow on the mountain out of town Ooh. On Christmas. Closest we'll ever get to a white Christmas, in parentheses, with it being in summer here. That always fucks me up. That, like, some...
That southern hemisphere is summer opposite of
like
us.
Like, Christmas is a summer holiday for them?
Yeah, that's messed up.
That's what I mean. Like, I can't... there's things, like, life is so weird. And it's like, I can't conceptualize all of it. That... Christmas in the summer? No way. Like, I couldn't...
Maybe the southern hemisphere is not real. I've never been.
Yeah, we have never met Ben and Hobot. Maybe Hobot isn't even real.
Maybe he's secretly in the northern hemisphere.
Makes you think. And then our last one, this is from Michael. Well, I think this is a good question, and I have an answer for him. Because you know me, I'm a little superstitious when it comes to game day. He said, my fiance surprised me with a cheese head because I lost mine in an apartment fire 9 years ago. Ooh, sorry to hear that. She surprised me with it right before the Broncos game, and now we're 0-2 since and lost so many guys to injury. What do I do? So we're actually 0-3 now.
Well,
So he commented this before the game.
I want to hear yours because I also have an answer.
So you can't throw it out. You can't throw it away. Obviously, what I would do personally is, well, now I'm a little deeper in thought. What I would do is I would put it in my car. I would put it in my car and I'd have my car. If your car is in the garage, it's a little tougher because I think that and it's still in your house. But I would put it in my car and then park on the driveway or out on the road or something. But I would get it out of the house on game day and then see what happens. I don't know. Another interesting part of this, very, very interesting. I don't know if you want to try it on Sunday or for the playoffs, right? Because would you just want to maybe you keep it in the house for Sunday, see if we lose, and then come playoffs, bring it outside? But I guess I don't know what your thinking is on this, Todd.
Okay. You lost it in a fire. Your initial one, right? You go all this time without one. You bring it back, and then all of a sudden we're losing games. You have to burn it.
Okay. Fondue.
You have to get better the same way you got sick.
What?
We've been good since what year? What year was it gone? Did it get burned?
9 years ago.
We've had... How many Aaron Rodgers MVPs?
Oh, God, was it 2014?
In that time.
No, it's 20. So, okay, never mind. 20, okay.
We've had so many great seasons in the last 9 years. And now you get another one. And it's like, dude, you have to burn that thing. You have to burn it in wherever you're living. So like it burned up. If you live in an apartment, you have to burn it in the apartment. If you live in a house, if you live in your car, you have to burn it in your car. That's the only way. It's just bad juju. To not do the same thing over again. And then you can never buy one again.
But he didn't buy it. It was gifted to him. Do you think that changes
you
things?
You can't accept the gift.
Refuse or the gift.
You can gift it to someone else.
Ooh.
Take your pick.
Yeah, it's tough.
You either burn it in your home or you can gift it to someone else.
I would say,
Those
I would say
probably your
start,
two options.
Start by putting it outside. Maybe even just throw it in your yard. They're pretty durable. I don't know what the temperature is.
They're
I think it's in Wisconsin.
They get moldy if you leave them, if they get wet.
But you couldn't leave it outside for like a day.
Oh, No, you have to get rid of it. It can't. You can't have it in your house.
I say get it out of your house. Todd says burn it in your house. So those are your two options.
Or gift it to someone else. Yeah,
a Packer fan in need.
Your girlfriend, wife, significant other, whatever.
Fiance.
Will understand.
You were wrong.
Whoever bought it. Fiance. I said significant other. That copy. That covers everything.
Yeah, that's fair. With that, good. Wow, great comments this week. With that, I don't have anything else. Todd, do you have anything else?
We had a conversation about, like, who, for, like, do they still do captain's photos?
I believe so. They
remember Aaron Rodgers used to photobomb all
that
the...
goofy guy, yeah.
Very silly of him.
One of the goofiest guys I know. Why are you asking?
Well, we were talking about, like, who Brenton Cox could stand next to make, like, a funny...
Mm-hmm.
And we, like, love Cox. What else did we come up with? We had, like, one other good one, maybe. Anyways, we missed a really good one. Colby Wooden next to Brenton Cox.
Ooh, Wooden Cox.
Yeah, that's a good
love
one.
Wooden Cox.
It's all three. Yeah, you could do three. Anyways, that's all I had.
Okay, that was pretty good, though.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's better than others. I thought we had a good one in there.
How excited are you for Sunday 1 through 10?
Oh, 7.
Yeah, I'm like a 3.
A 3. I'm more excited than not. It's low stakes. If it's announced that that Willis doesn't play, it will drop below 5.
I guess I'm also thinking that Willis isn't going to play, but I don't know.
Melton Cox.
With that, Todd, do you have anything else?
Golden Cox.
Ooh, yes, that's right. That's what we were saying.
No, that's it for me.
Okay, cool. With that,
pray for Malik Willis.
Pray for Malik,
so we can have an entertaining Sunday.
Yeah, that Zach Tom,
we need it. No.
Josh Jacobs. We want everyone to feel better.
Oh, sure. But just for entertainment purposes. Like, they can sit out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we want them out. We want Willis in.
To entertain us.
We deserve it.
That's true.
We've been through a lot.
That's true. Someone else has been through a lot. A.G. Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch.
I quit my job. Yeah. Cause it just won't pay. Worked all year, I worked all month, then they took my money away, yeah, well now I don't care, cause they ain't working like me down here, I said hey now little baby I'm going deeper down in debt. Pack of cigarettes. You can take the job or shove it.
Tori's father is a big Diet Pepsi guy, and he drinks the mini cans.
The mini cans are a friggin' ripoff. They're like as expensive as a regular, like 12-pack.
But they're mini.
Tiny.
Yeah. Well, it's like I got a 12-pack of High Life, or a 6-pack of High Life, and then I got another 6-pack of, like, mini High Life, and they were the same price.
Yeah.
But the bottles were very cute.
Novelty.
I thought the little bottles were going to be the good luck, but they weren't.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.